The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Let me get that. All right, my friend, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Debut, man. Here we go. Right now. Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 25th of April, 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check out our two new products, and I mean, they are wicked. Number one, go out and check out the Winner's Circle. This is 12 modules of me speaking and giving you movements to do. Old forgotten stuff like high shrugs, dips, pullovers, thick bar training, sandbag training, power rack training, dead stop pressing, dead stop squatting, you name it, it's there. And I'll tell you what, 30 to 40 minutes a module, and it is chock full of information. And I will tell you this, if you come in and buy the 12, you'll get a 13th one free called the Stewards of Strength. If you hear me at the end of the show talking about it, we are the gatekeepers. We are the ones that are going to keep spreading this beautiful thing we call physical culture no matter what you do. And we are going to restore it back. And we have more and more people coming in. Kids like you wouldn't believe. Kids 5 years old, we got them lifting rocks and sandbags now. This is a revolution, and we are on fire. So check the first product out. The second product is called Etched in Stone. This goes after the late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60-year-old. You can be 70 or 80. This is one of the biggest things I've ever done. And we've brought in some of the best people involved because I just want to stick to the training now. We have Dory Peterson, who's an RN and a nutritionist, Dr. William Wong. He is by far the best naturopath anti-aging doctor that I know of. We also have Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who's a medical doctor in Arizona. And anybody knows he's been on here at 184 and 45 years old when you're supposed to not be able to do anything anymore. We do the dead stop squats. That's where we start right at parallel with no rebound. In 1 year, last September, he went from a 150 to a 305, okay? Now we're working on 405. So I'm telling you right now, we do some serious stuff and have some serious results here. So all these people, Dale Dugas, martial arts, but he makes the best products for recovery, topical. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what I would do without them, especially lifting stones and the bruising and the ripping of this and that. You put his stuff on, and I take it out in the yard with me. I'm hardly even sore anymore, and I'm doing an awful lot with the adaptation right now that we're going to do a show on. Wait till you hear some of the stuff I've been doing now almost every day besides going out and doing the big blasting workouts. So we'll get into more of that. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check them out. I'm telling you right now, they're life-changing. Also, go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. What can I tell you? I got to find out for sure, but I know we're either at 700 or we have over 700 podcasts. I don't know anybody in a little over 2 years that's ever accomplished a feat like that, but we want our brand out there, and we want millions of listeners to the show, and we will get millions of listeners. So go out and check that out, because I'm going to bring in a brand new family member shortly by the name of Stephen Murray, and before I bring him in, I'm going to read a couple things, and I'm going to be quick about it. But Charlie Oliphant got me in touch with this gentleman, and I'm telling you, wait till you hear what we're going to be talking about. If you love stones and many other things with it, you're going to love Steven. So we will bring him in momentarily. Now, I'm going to read an excerpt. Oh, I want to read something else, too, that's very, very important to us here. Our good friend Chris Vaccio was on here, and everybody knows that he is the gentleman that started all the American strongest disabled athletes over here. Magnus for Magnuson, of course, started it over in Iceland, and now it's spread here. And I'm going to read about a contest they have coming up, and it's very important. Here it is. It's called America's Strongest Disabled Athlete, the official USA qualifier for World's Strongest Disabled Man. It's May 13th, 2017 at 10 a.m., and it's in Columbus, Ohio at the Ohio Expo Center in the Ohio building. Also, too, this is a Strongman Corporation sanctioned competition, which is going to run alongside it. So you got to have your entry in by May 5th of 2017. So, Chris, hats off to you. You're a hell of a guy, and we are so glad you're part of our family. Also, we are doing some major things for people, and I couldn't be happier. Now, I'm going to read one more thing, and we're going to bring Steven in. As everybody knows, my dad has passed away many years ago, and my mom's been going through a lot of pictures, and she found a couple things in my father's, which I'm surprised, because I thought everything that they didn't need, they got rid of, but this was in with a bunch of pictures. And my father was obviously a New Englander from Boston and loved all the Boston teams, but I believe that the Green Bay Packers and Lombardi, he just loved Lombardi. I'm going to read this excerpt. It's by Frank Gifford, who played for Coach Lombardi. I saw the movie Patton, and it was Vince Lombardi. The situation was different, but the thought was the same. We're here to do a job, and each and every one of us will put everything we've got into getting the job done. That was Vince. Patton believed in reincarnation. Who knows? Maybe it was Patton who coached the Packers. Frank Gifford. With that in mind and everything going on, Steven, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, Eric.
It is great to have you on. And I'm going to give you a little, we're going to do an introduction show with my friend here, but I want to give you a little information on him, and then he can add whatever he'd like. Number one, he's a personal training gym for 21 years. He's a professional karate instructor. He's competed in strongman competition for 7 years. He's lifted many of the Scottish testing stones. And the thing that's real big, because we've been talking about this, he's written a screenplay on the life of Donald Denny. That's quite a resume, Steven. Welcome to the show, obviously. Anything I missed, websites, anything like that, give it out, please, and we will get into today's show.
Well, that sounds quite impressive there. It sounds a bit better than the reality, probably.
Well,
like you said, my background in terms of sports-wise was karate, and for years and years, that's what I did from about the ages of 15 to 30. I ate, slept, and breathed it.
Yep.
And then strength training was always a kind of thing in the background that fascinated me, but I only ever really dabbled in it. I always thought it was something I had loads of time to get into. And then, well, eventually that kind of took over from the karate. I realized I was, one day I just thought, I'm putting more into this karate than I'm getting out of it.
Yep.
And when I sort of made the switch, and I just found how rewarding strength training was, and really never looked back from that.
I think everything that we do, everybody's got different genres, especially what we see out, you know, if you're doing anything with social media, obviously, blah, blah, blah. But I agree with you fully on that, Steven. Strength training, and I'll just limit it to a couple things, and then we'll start. I love stones. I love sandbags. I love dead stop power rack training. I love it. I'll tell you what I love more than anything. I love something that's trying to beat me right through the ground. And I'm either going to succeed or we're going to have a failure that day. You know what? I've made my mind up to it. I say it on the show all the time. If you're not failing, you're not training, my friend. Uh-huh. And we've got too many people that are afraid of failure, and a lot of people that don't want to put the horsepower out to do these things. And I'm even talking just being in good shape. Healthy. If you're not going to bury your soul and obviously get a little scraped up, cut up, a little disillusioned, a little disappointed, sometimes even down in the dumps, then you're not, to me, you're not performing. And the beauty of what we do here is there's always another day to rise. And that's, I think if I was going to take one thing away from all this through all the years, it's the human spirit they love to talk about, the ability to overcome. Well, I'll tell you what. Go and grab a stone, a sandbag, a set of weights, whatever you want to do, and go out and hit it. Don't try it. Hit it and see what happens. So I'll send it right to you, and then we'll comment on any of that, and we'll start with question number one, please.
Well, that ties right in, I suppose, with you're really describing some of the recent stone tours that we've been on.
Yeah.
It's so out there compared to what you would do in a gym where you get a chance to build up and do multiple reps.
Yep.
Here's the weight, it's sitting in front of you. It really is, you know, lift it or shut up, isn't it? And when you're there with your buddies and you're trying it, you're not there as a spectator.
No.
You're not really lifting five little stones before it. You're kind of faced with this big brute.
Yep.
You've got to warm up in whatever way possible. And you've got to dig into the depths to pick that up. And I think the times when I've lifted those stones, I'm not sure that I would even have got them off the ground had it not been from my pals that were with me egging me on.
Yeah.
Once one of your pals maybe breaks the ground, then that's the incentive for you to break ground. Somebody gets it to the lap, you see it's achievable, and yeah, that's what pushes you. That's not something you're going to really get in a gym, I don't think.
Well, see, now you hit it right on the head. And this is beautiful because you know what? You know the majority of gyms are a controlled environment. Mm. And, okay, there's still some hardcore stuff around, but it's going to be few and far between. And I'll tell you what. For years I trained with my brother and my best buddy who was just like family to me. And we trained in a very hardcore gym called the Steel Pier. But slowly but surely, someone else would buy it, and it was starting to get a little bit more neutral. And then another guy would buy it, and it was getting now where they were not liking you dropping anything on the floor. They're starting to get chalk conscious. They even threw two of their – this gym, Stephen, was huge. It looked like an – I had heard at one time it was a small airplane hangar. This place was huge. One whole side almost alone was clay tennis courts. They had the biggest gymnastic place and track surrounding it I've ever seen. These brain trusts came in and threw big money out of there. We had people from New York City coming up during the week and on the weekend just to play tennis. You talk about money generation to build your gym. Well, to make a long story short, we were in there one Sunday. And it got out of hand with the owner, and the next thing you knew, the police were there. And that was the end at that point. I knew I had to come home, build something in my garage, didn't have a lot of cash. All I needed, I knew, was a power rack. I had about 1,500 pounds of steel weights. Never looked back. And it's the best move I ever made in my life. Now, I feel almost bad for people that never go out and realize it, because one thing I think that makes the lifter, a true physical cultural lifter, is this. Here we have elements like a lot of people, and I train whether it rains, snows, sleets, 30 below, or it's 100 degrees and the humidity will bake your arms to a steel stone, okay? Because this is what I feel gives me the edge. And another thing, this agrees with my personality, if you can, when I'm saying that, and I know you would understand that, I can't have it any other way now. I can't go back to any of that stuff. They wouldn't let me in most gyms anyway. It was with what I want to do. But go ahead, comment on any of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a start off, coming from Scotland, if you were hanging about waiting in perfect weather,
yep,
you wouldn't really go out and do anything. So training outdoors in the rain or the snow, whenever we've done it, it actually adds to the fun.
Yeah.
I know that people will walk by and they've seen us flipping tires in the snow and lifting stones, and they probably think, these guys are crazy, but they can't. It's like anything, you can't really know what another person's getting out of it, you know?
No.
I mean, I don't play golf, but I get what people get out of it.
Yeah.
And anyone that does any kind of sport to any kind of decent level, I think we'll tune in to what you're doing and think, okay, I don't need to get it, but I get what those guys are doing. And they're giving it, you know, they're giving it heart and soul.
Sure, sure.
Growing up in Glasgow,
yep.
I'm not from the Highlands, so I didn't, the Highland Games circuit was something that was, I came late to. I wish I had grown up in the Highlands. I wish I had got involved in something like that.
Yeah.
But in Glasgow, mostly what you have is football, or as we would call it, soccer.
Yeah, yep.
So when I was in that, you know, my teenage years, even if you go abroad, even still, and you say I'm from Glasgow,
yep.
rather than Scotland, people say to you, Celtic or Rangers.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
They mention the two soccer, like it's the only thing, like you have to be so engrossed in soccer.
Yeah.
So when I, our school didn't, for instance, our school didn't have even a multi-gym.
Yep.
I never saw a dumbbell or a bar until I went to a little community centre at 16 and had a, they had a multi-gym. You can imagine what a multi-gym was like back in 1980.
Sure.
It was basic beyond belief. So there may have been weightlifting clubs somewhere, but I wouldn't have known of something like that.
Yep. Yep.
So my first exposure was to the very type of gyms that you're talking about, the ones that I've pretty much now grown to hate as well. It's just more chrome, more mirrors, and more posing. And
yep.
it seems like the most important piece of equipment in the whole gym is the mobile phone. You know, you're either downloading a piece of music or taking a selfie.
I'm telling you are right on the mark, because I'll tell you something that I've never heard in my life before. We've got a place here. I'm not even going to say the name. I don't want to give them any anything. But it's a typical place where I don't believe – if they have free weights, I don't even know if they have them anymore. But it's mainly the same stuff, you know, the treadmills, this, that. But we've got it. We've got massive TVs everywhere. And over in this country, I'm sure you've heard, there's a lot of people very upset about the presidential election and blah, 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 blah. So these two people are in there training side by side on a treadmill. And, oh, by the way, too, you'll love this. They don't judge anyone there. But, I mean, you know that tells you what they are right there. So there's stuff on TV about the election. And all of a sudden, words exchange. There's a fist fight out on the floor now. Well, they've now taken – these are local YMCAs, too. Now, basically, there's no more TV. And I'm like, bravo, bravo. Finally, maybe somebody will go there and do something. But you know what? To me, that's the lazy man's or woman's gym. And the ones that will sit there and bitch about everything, they're not losing weight or they're not feeling good or their health is suffering or whatever, that, you know, you get what you put into it. And that's a thing that I love what we do here, is we keep pushing the mark out and keep trying to, with all our might, get anybody and everybody involved here, because my feeling is with physical culture is this. It is so attractive, in my opinion, to everything you want to do, that once you start doing this, even if you think that, well, why would I even want to lift, say, a 10-pound sandbag to start, I don't know if I like the word primal anymore, because now it's getting overused like everything, but there is a gene in all of us that is still there from evolution or however you want to look at life. I'm telling you right now, when that button gets pressed, you're going to start understanding why you don't need a controlled environment, why you're going to love to be outside, why you're going to love to lift sandbags. And my greatest dream would be, right after that, you still lift them, but you go and find some river stones. And then if you want to go next, you start building Atlas stones. And then you start, you know, getting like sizes or small sizes of dinnies. You know, have somebody drill them, throw the handle in with the ring, epoxy it with the chain and all that, and go nuts, man. Or do like what we do here is I designed this Husa steel stone that's got all the dimensions of the Husa fell stone, made out of steel, loaded with shot. It's got short plate trees on each side on the top, so you don't have to keep filling it with shot if you're feeling better during your workout, and away you go. Okay, so this is the essence to me of everything. But I want you to comment on that, but after that, I want to ask you this question, because I ask everybody this. What do you feel in your life that got you started in basically, we'll call it physical culture, whether you started out with weights first, you know, body weight, stones, whatever. But if you want to comment on any of that stuff, be my guest. But let's go right into what got you fired into this beautiful thing we call physical culture.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, Eric. And, I suppose initially you're caught up in what you're doing, you don't question it. But as I got older,
yeah,
and you realize that this thing you do is much more of a niche,
yep,
activity. I wouldn't even call it a sport, but and a question why did I do it? I mean, I grew up in a house with an older brother.
Yep.
He was fascinated with soccer. That's what he was caught up in. I can't remember a time when I wasn't fascinated with strength.
Yep.
I just remember it, and I've went back and back and tried to think back to when I'm just a wee toddler. I wasn't interested. Football's a perfectly acceptable good game, but it just didn't interest me. I always seemed to be the wee kid that wanted to climb a tree or pick something up or flip something over or say, hey, can you do this?
Yep.
It was always there. If I actually think of my earliest sort of strength memory, do you remember the old Tarzan movies with Johnny Weissmuller?
Sure, I used to watch those, reruns, yep.
When school was off, I remember sitting watching them with my father.
Yeah.
I remember when Johnny Weissmuller would swing down this big 6'3", super strong guy.
Yep.
That's the first time I can remember actually seeing someone, because we don't have, well, we have strength sports, but Scotland is not known. It's not that we have amateur football.
Right.
You have a soccer is about speed and agility. It's not something that was traditionally played by big guys.
Yep.
But you don't see, you wouldn't have walked down the street in Glasgow 40 years ago and seen big guys. They just didn't see it.
Yep.
So to see Johnny Weissmuller, I remember that being a big deal. And then we used to go to the cinema the Saturday matinee and watch The Adventures of Captain Marvel.
Oh, cool.
And that was a guy called Tom Tyler, who I think he was actually maybe the first American to clean and jet 140 or something, 140
yep.
kilo.
Yep.
I think it was the 1928 American Olympic team. And again, these sort of Herculean figures. And
yep.
I can remember at a very young age, long before World's Strongest Man started, asking my father, who's the world's strongest, who's the strongest man in the world? my father must have known something, because he said Paul Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea who Paul Anderson was, and you know, you had to go and research things like this and find a book, because there was no internet to click a button on. So
nah, nope.
That, and I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, and I was interested in all this stuff, you know. And then I guess the first thing I saw would have been a bodybuilding magazine. I guess you equate muscle
yep.
with strength, and I think most of the guys I know have initially went to a gym, unless maybe you come from the Highlands and the first thing you do is pick up a hammer or pick up a caber.
Yeah.
If you grew up in the city of Glasgow, the first thing you're probably going to do is go to a commercial gym. Those commercial gyms didn't really appear here in Glasgow till the 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And then, like I said, I'd already started martial arts. That took up all my time and what I was doing. And I really only fluttered with strength training. It wasn't until I decided to really give it a go. I met a friend, a guy, Gary McCulloch, a pal of mine I met at college, and he was the training partner of Forbes Cowan.
Oh, wow, okay. All right.
Forbes Cowan was already then 6-time Scotland's Strongest Man and
yep.
Britain's Strongest Man. So I met Forbes, and so this was my first trip down to, I guess you would call it, a hardcore gym. And now we were sort of shifting serious weights, and that was probably the moment that I was hooked.
And that's awesome.
It was Forbes that said, there was an amateur strongman competition coming up. Again, I didn't even know such things, but and he said, why don't you have a go? And that was it. As soon as I'd done that first amateur competition, which was up at Blair Athol Highland Games, and that was it. That was me off and rolling. It was that day in itself was one of the most satisfying feelings I ever came away with, just doing those events.
Yeah, and you know what? Go ahead.
Now I had targets. So now this strength thing was becoming more tangible,
yeah.
because it was lift the log at this weight, lift the stones at this weight, lift this van. So you had actual tangible things to work towards next year to make you stronger. And yeah, not
well, coming it, back. No, and that's awesome, because I'll tell you what, That's the beauty of all this stuff. No matter what you do with any of this stuff, you said there's tangible things, and they are, and the ability to say, okay, like Charlie and I were talking on the last show, you know, he's working with Andrew Carney, and,
yep.
You know, you and I both know, I don't care who you are, you really, I think the essence of a successful lifter is, it might hurt a little bit at first, but you got to know where you might have some weak spots, especially if you're lifting a big stone, you can lap it, but maybe when you're standing up, you just don't quite have what you need yet. And, yeah. You know, when I talk to Charlie about that, it's a very interesting thing because, like all of us, we've had the privilege to lift for a lot of years, and Charlie felt that his upper back was not strong enough. So, you know, Andrew helped him out. He's doing a specific routine now, and I don't know if you were there or not, but, I mean, he's way ahead of going for his goal of lifting the Dinnies in August. He already, the mock ones he lifted wherever that was. And
that was mine. That's my back garden.
Oh, that was you? Okay. So the incredible thing about that, Stephen, is this. It's like if you don't let your ego get in the way, look what he accomplished already. Yeah. And it's incredible. Yeah. And these are the things I think that get kind of lost in a lot of different things because I'll just speak for the U.S., and I'm sure it's touched you guys over in the U.K. You know, everything here is we got to have it now. Speed, fast, this and that. You and I both know what we like to do, and even just going in and getting physically healthy. That's a lifetime. It's not a 90-day course you buy off a television infomercial where you have paid actors and former athletes that all look great according to everybody else. But if I see them, you can pick out spots on them everywhere where I'm sure a lot of them are weak as a kitten. I mean, yeah, great. You got great abs. You got tone everywhere. But let's say this is my whole perspective of strength. Are you functionally strong? Can you pick your child up if you have to? Can you carry bags of groceries? Can you just do simple tasks like getting out of bed in the morning and brushing your teeth? And I'm not joking when I say that either. When the alarm goes off, do you have to lay in bed for another 15 minutes to get out? This is what it's all about. But you know what I love about this, especially when you're talking about watching Tarzan with your dad and everything? See, all these things, man, and unfortunately a lot of kids don't have the luxury of being lucky like you and I, where you had people, you had family members, or you had important people in your life where you didn't know it at the time, but what you were watching or seeing, that stuff was in you somehow. Strength you gravitated towards. It was like a magnet, you know what I mean? And I'll make this quick and I'll go right back to you. You know, we talk about things, and I like to tell people this because this is where Fiorello Barbell Company and Motivation Muscle totally came from and is dedicated to. My brother Jimmy, who rests in peace, had muscular dystrophy and was wheelchair-bound and died at a very young teenage age. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about inspiration and a warrior? I'll never meet anybody like that kid. Never. Never, never, never. And I learned things from him that at the time I didn't even know until I was an adult male. And one thing about Jimmy, and being a 10, 11-year-old boy, Jimmy was a year younger than me, I was frightened of that stuff. I didn't, you know, you don't really understand it, and your parents tell you what's going on and they explain that you can't get it and all that, but you're still you're afraid. I hate that word, but you're afraid. So one day I'm down at a local little corner store and I'm looking around and I go to the comic books and there I see it, and to this day my favorite, and I watch it anytime I can find it. There's the Incredible Hulk sitting on the cover. And I was like, holy God. I picked that thing up and started thumbing through it, and I immediately took my change out and bought it. Now, this is how a kid equates things, and I still do. I said, if I can get as strong as the Hulk, I'll never get muscular dystrophy. Now, some people would say that's cold. It's not cold. When you're a little kid, man, you don't understand things, whether your parents show you or not, and they did multiple times. But see how the equation is with strength?
Yeah.
I saw, you know, at the time, I didn't know he was a 12-foot, 13-foot giant weighing in at thousands of pounds. And no matter what you did to him, you could not kill him or hurt him. You might knock him back, but you piss him off more, and then you got real trouble. So those were the things that really, and I said this in the middle of the show, that gene, I believe, that's in all of us inherently, that touched me off. I've never looked back. I mean, you know, I started with a sand weight set and a wooden bench in my basement from my aunt and uncle. And I knew for sure, and I had played a lot of sports, I knew the day I touched that barbell, that's where I belonged. I don't know how to tell you that, why. I know the reasons why I think it happened. But when I put my hands on that, it was like somebody shot a bolt of lightning right into my head. And it was like, holy cow. Since 10 years old, here I am. I've been training for 30 years.
I agree totally. I think it is innate. I don't know that I would agree that everyone's got it, but I think it is innate. And I think that I was always going to find a way to do this type of stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, well, without a doubt, you and I are on the same page. There's no doubt about it.
What we're talking about in a way is we're addressing the importance of role models. My first role models, I guess, would have been when I went to the karate club. I wouldn't have known at the time that they were my role models.
Yep.
I wouldn't have put that label on them. I wouldn't have thought of them as mentors. They were just guys that I aspired to be like.
Yep.
As I reflect on it now, years later, I realise the positive role that those people had. First and foremost, I wanted to be like them on a very simple, basic level.
Well, and you see, do you see how important that is? And we've lost a lot of that today. And that's why I'm so honored to be able to do stuff with this with gentlemen like you and everybody else. I just feel a responsibility to this more than ever because we have an opportunity here to change minds. That is so important and so it's kind of like swept under the carpet now. But I'm telling you right now, and I've said this over and over again, you put your teeth in the physical culture and have a mentor or you go out and find people to help you, I'm telling you right now, you will have the best life you could ever imagine. Yep, you're going to have hills and valleys. You're going to have times where you've had enough of it, you know, like anything, personal life, whatever. But you're always going to come back to something that is that important and vital to your life. And this is a lifestyle, and there's no separation out of the gym or out in public. The only difference is you and I aren't carrying or trying to lift stones or got a barbell on our back. Otherwise, if you understand what we're doing here, we are the same outside of the gym. Maybe we're not as crazy acting or whatever, but I know this for a fact, Stephen. You turn that screw in on me a little bit, and you're going to see the same thing outside. So that's the beauty of all this stuff, and to have the privilege and the honor to do this, especially coming from my family where I saw my brother basically disintegrate in a wheelchair, I can't tell you what a fortunate guy I am. But go ahead and take it.
Yeah, well, one of the things you've hit on there, I guess you have got an equivalent in America. You talk about your jocks and what you call them, geeks. I don't know what you would call them, but I meet a lot of adults today through my job, through the personal training. When they make that decision, they phone me and then they turn up and they sit down. I can almost sense that they're expecting me to be just like the PE teachers that they hated at school. We've got this, and it kind of goes back to this whole sports side of it. We would have a PE teacher that would drag a bag of footballs out, soccer balls, fling them about, and then he would disappear for a cigarette. And the kids that could play football played, the ones that didn't, you know, messed about. So that was my experience back then. Like I said, there was no real track and field at school. There was no weights, anything. So I get a lot of people come to me through the personal training. They're expecting this PE teacher. They expect the guy with the tracksuit and the stopwatch and the whistle.
Yeah,
and they're almost fearful because they didn't like the sport element, and people are almost conditioned to think that sport and health and fitness and strength, they all go hand in hand.
Correct.
And if you think, I hated sports at school, I didn't enjoy it, I was picked on, I was bullied, and so I'm not doing anything like that. And I see the fear in their eyes.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Sure. Yep.
Well, they see the way I train them, it's got nothing to do with that. You don't have to be good at sports. It's not a skill thing. It's just a question of looking at your objectives. What yep. do you want from your body? What are you? Do you have an injury to rehabilitate? Do you have weight to lose? Do you have strength to put on? And tackling it from that viewpoint, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? You lead by example. And I'll tell you right now, I think more than ever, what we do, especially the strongman, because I've said this to people I've trained here, do you know that I can take anything in strongman, pretty much, maybe not everything, and I can take it and make it to contour for you? And most people are like, what are you talking about? Because think about the majority of gyms, even if they do have the machines and a limited amount of free weights, you're going to get somebody in there that's probably making about $12 an hour that is just being paid to take you through a circuit. Maybe you get them for a few days, and after that, you'll be lucky if they even acknowledge you anymore. Now, I can understand people's apprehension to a lot of that, but the point is, that's a very short, well, I think it's the higher end. The folks like us are maybe the 1-2% that when you find somebody like that, you damn well better latch on to it, because if you really have specific goals, if you really decide you want to live the physical culture life, you've got to have somebody of that mentality. You've got to have someone that knows one size does not fit all. But you also have somebody, too, that is going to push you to shoulder the responsibility also and make you, and I'm going to say it, make you want to do this, make you will it, make you complete it, make you take action, and eventually make you succeed with your goals. And you're going to love that so much, you're going to come up with another goal. So this, there's so much to what we do, and I agree with you. I meant to mention that to you. I don't call it a sport either. It's not a sport. I don't believe we're on any level with football or anything out there. I'll tell you honestly, Stephen, the majority of sports now I don't even watch because I can't stand the BS, especially in America, that goes with it. Most of the stuff that goes with it has nothing to do with the sport. I'm not interested in the commercials or any of that crap. That I know that's how they're paying everybody, but you know what? The thing I like about especially Stones, and like when I've talked to Martin and Charlie and all them and yourself here, isn't it great not only to be out with your mutual friends, people you really admire, love, and accomplish things with, out in the middle of nowhere? Other than you guys pushing each other, you don't have an audience, you don't have anybody flying a blimp over you to film you or anything like that. What you are is you're out there raw. You're out in stuff that most people don't even have a clue or can conjure up in their mind. And you know what? We're going to bring them into it, but I think that is the way. That's why I like training pretty much alone at the house. I have to rouse myself to do these things. So when I get out with a group of guys like you and we're lifting these things that I've never even touched before, all that preparation has been done. It's all done. Everything is done in your gym or wherever you're training before you go and lift that stone. Yep, you got people pushing you. Hopefully you're on the mark that day and you just crush everything. But this is what I'm talking about, and this is what the beauty of physical culture is. Go ahead, take it away, sir.
Well, you know, in a way, I think we're really fortunate here in Scotland.
Yep.
These manhood stones, or the testing stones, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
It is a niche thing.
Yep.
And I sometimes wonder if you had these the Denny stones, and they were sat outside Edinburgh Castle.
Yep.
They'd be chained together, and you'd be charged £5 to lift them.
Absolutely.
Somebody be there to take your photo and sell you the photo.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no commercialism in this, and that's, I wouldn't say that's one of the attractions, but thankfully that's what it is. These things are dotted over. Recently, when we went to lift one of the stones, we were, half the fun is finding them.
Yeah,
Mark made that a bit easier. But we were driving up and down near Rob Roy's grave to try and locate this stone. This was recently when I was with Andy Kearney. And we eventually decided that this has to be the stone, and we've got to crawl over this fence and down a field, and the field was just like a quagmire. But at this time in the morning, it was all frozen solid with ice. So you're stepping over horse shit and climbing away down. People think, why are these guys going to lift that stone, you know?
Yep.
But it's sat there, isn't it? It's sat there. It's not a shiny piece of chrome. Nobody needs to take your photo. Nobody's charging you money to lift it.
Nope.
It's just it's this whole thing wrapped in history. And a funny story, that very morning that we went to lift it, myself, John Pollock and Andy Kearney went to lift the stone, and we're sitting looking at this thing and setting it up. It was a beautiful frosty morning, nice everywhere. We're all sort of thinking, right, we had a wee warm-up, we changed into our clothes, right? We thought, we'll towel off the stone a wee bit and get it a bit dry. I went to move the stone. I could not even move it an inch. It was stuck to the ground, so the guys are looking at me thinking, yeah, you're kidding. So I've now got my foot against this thing. So I've now got a sort of small audience that I've gathered to watch us lift this.
Sure.
And at one point, the three of us are actually pushing the stone, and we couldn't even break the surface between the ice and the grip I had with the ground. And that's it's so raw, isn't it?
Yeah, it's raw as can be.
It thaw out before we could even lift it.
Yeah, you know something? It's got its own mind, and it doesn't care if you're going to get it or not. You know what I mean? That's what I love about all that. Look, I want to ask you one other thing, too, and then I know we're getting near time, and I want to talk a little bit about the screenplay of Donald Denny. And I know from Martin telling me his favorite stone is the Denny because that's the first stone he ever lifted, et cetera, et cetera. Or not the Denny, the Inver.
Yeah.
What is your favorite stone, if you have one, Stephen?
Oh, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. Well, it's an interesting thing in terms of a feat of strength. What's the hardest? I think, technically speaking, more people could probably pick up the Denny stones than could shoulder the Inver.
Really? Okay.
So, yeah. Different types of strength. There are some people that will do one and some people that will do the other. If you've done a bit of strongman training and you've lifted the McGlashan stones, the Atlas stones, call them what you will, you're probably better prepped to have a go at the Inver stone.
Sure.
But I would say getting the Inver stone on your shoulder represents a greater feat of strength because there's some mechanics at play with the Denny stones. You know, if you're suited right for them, I think you can get away with being a little bit weaker, maybe.
Okay.
But, That day that we did those stones, we did the two of them together.
Yeah, yep.
Myself, Andy, and Ken Nowiski. And that was an absolutely fantastic day. Everything just came together perfect. Yeah. You know, the morning we got off to, the chat on the way up, the expectation of these stones. And we went and lifted the Denny's first and then went to lift the Inver stone. So lifting the two of them together, it kind of impregnated on my mind. And that day was special. I couldn't really separate the two of them. And the Mingus stone, again, there's a competition where you don't just lift the Mingus stone at the at Highland Games here in August. You carry the stone for distance. So that was a good one as well. I picked that up and I carried that for distance. And that was
nice.
That was great fun. There, I would, people would argue, but I would say they're the three real big ones in terms of difficulty. The Mingus stone, the Denny's, and the Inver. I'm sure there's others that I haven't done yet that are probably just tough, but
That's awesome. One last question, and I hope you'll come back with us soon. I'm very interested in you wrote the screenplay on Donald Denny. Tell me why, number one, and just give us a little brief excerpt of something that you would think maybe no one knows here. And I hope you'll come on next month, and we'll really dive into that, among other things. And go ahead and take it away, Stephen.
Well, I was having some sort of forced downtime through illness, and I knew I was going to have some recovery.
Yep.
And I thought, I don't want to be sitting about bored out of my mind. I wanted a focus. I need to have some kind of focus. And so I'd... When I'm interested in something, I tend to research it. So when I try these Denny's, I immediately think, so who was this guy Denny?
Yep.
Now, I researched him, and I found him just an absolutely fascinating character, and I wonder if I want to tell this guy's story.
Yeah.
I know people have written, most stuff that's written about him is documented information, you know. Lifted this, he threw this, he was here. But my way of thinking is, if you're ever going to bring this guy to the general public,
yep,
other than the people that are already interested, the people that would, you and I that would watch a 5-hour documentary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't. So I thought, if there was a feature film,
yep,
every time you talk about this guy, somebody says, wow, you need to make a film about that guy. There's a film in there, and of course there's a film there. Somebody, yep, at some point will make it.
Yep.
So I thought, I will try and write a script. And I got right into it. It was just such an enjoyable thing. I researched every bit of research you can imagine on Donald and his countless court appearances, his births, marriages, deaths, where he was, who he was with, looking,
yep,
at all the time. Sometimes would contradict another time, just until you have a whole map of where he was and what he did at what time. Then it's a question of telling his story. And for me, the two main things that make Donald Dunne the most impressive is his versatility and his,
yep,
longevity.
Yep.
More than anything he lifted, it's the fact that he was so impressive for so long and did so many things at such a high level.
Yeah.
So I've approached it from a biopic type of thing, as he's young and then moving quickly into the time where he moved to Australia and the time he spent there. But you could come into his story at any given point and pick something from it.
Yeah.
It was almost so difficult to narrow it down. And even as I wrote the script, I would then be, right, I have to do away with this, I have to do away with it. I have to shorten whole blocks to make,
yep,
the thing,
yep,
smaller, so it can actually end up in someone's desk and ultimately be read, you know? So.
Oh, I hope that you can sell that and get that move, and that'd be dynamite. Wow.
Someone somewhere will tell Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The fascinating story.
Yeah, well, you know what the nice thing is, too? Hopefully, with the amount of listeners we got, you never know who's going to hear this show.
You never know.
And I would love that someone would contact you and say, we'd like to talk to you.
Yeah.
I know we're near time right now. Is there anything else you'd like to get out? Because we'll get you back on here. If not, you can summarize anything you'd like, Stephen. Give out any other information you'd like. I'll give mine out, and if you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Well, just that anyone that wants to get in touch with me can, you know, do it through my website, Murray Fitness. It's just a little gym that I run in the west end of Glasgow. But, you know, most of my people that come to see me, Eric, it's just your average Joe Bloggs.
Yeah.
Someone that wants to get fit, someone that wants to rehabilitate an injury, someone that wants to get stronger. You know, I'll take anyone on, and most of the, several of my clients have actually been with me the full 20 years that I've been
awesome,
running the place, you know?
Well, that says a lot for you right there, period. You know, people don't stick around if you don't, you know, if you can't help them out and they can't help you out. Because, you know, let's face it, 20 years, people are family then at that point. I mean, mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful thing that you've helped people and they stay on with you. That speaks volumes of what you know and what type of individual you are, because I just go with this all the time now because I see it so much. There's a lot of talkers out there, but there aren't a lot of walkers with it. And you know, this kind of field, you've got to have a lot of personality. You got to be very caring, but at times you have to be very forceful and give some tough love. So I applaud you on that. Is there anything else, Stephen, that you'd like to put out?
No, just some of the things that you've said about Strongman and the whole thing, I agree totally, you know. It's an all or nothing type of sport, isn't it? It's the whole concept of getting stronger,
yep,
better shape is quite abstract.
Yeah, it is.
But Strongman, for me, kind of nails it down. You know, you either pick up that sandbag or you flip that tire or you don't. And I think when you've got these things that make it more tangible, your targets are much more obvious and your objectives now seem more attainable, rather than just this random, I do 10 reps last week, I'm doing 10 reps this week, and almost expecting your body to adapt and change. And it just doesn't work like that, does it? You've got to have targets and objectives. So that's, I guess that's what I would want to stress.
No, and I think you're right on, because you know what the nice thing about all that stuff is? Either you lift it or you don't, or you walk it or you don't. And that's a great way to live life, because once you become that type of personality, you're not going to hear all the baloney you hear with the victimhood and I've been treated unfairly and all that. What you're going to end up doing is you're going to go out and figure out a way to get it done. And that's that is more important now, I think, in the world than ever. But I'm so this is Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check out our two biggest products right now, the Winner Circle and Etched in Stone. Winner Circle basically is just about all set to roll, but the information out there is absolutely incredible. So check both of those products out. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. This one of Steven's will be up within the next 3 to 5 days, and we hope that he'll hang around with us for another 30 years like everybody. We're just going to keep building and building the catalog of greatness here, and you've heard a ton of information here, and there will be much more down the road. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Everyone has done that. We appreciate it. We're out on AHA Radio. Well, it's a directory. It's AHA. All the new cars have the capability to get podcasting in there. All you got to do is go out and look in the directory. We're there, Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. If there's a show you'd like Steven and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, or if you have any questions for Steven, I'd be more than happy to forward anything to him. So think about that, too. If you're, you know, one of the biggest things when we go through this litany of ending, it's like this. It's like if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, 5 words of inspiration can change your life. Believe me when I say it. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all they get. If you're going to lift it, twist it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 30 years, my friend. Frank Klein, who was my greatest business professor in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My pop, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure to me, as my dad died long before I met John, he would walk people to the door, every patient, and say 2 words, keep smiling. And I dare you to say that, because you will smile no matter what. We lost John almost 3 years to cancer. John, I miss like you wouldn't believe. What a guy. Man's man all the way, like all of them. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot through it. Join our family. Join the revolution. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have the best 30 years of your life with us. And as Les Brown says, you all have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further and tell you we got your back and we believe in you. And in today's world, I don't believe many people would put an offer out like that. But we are extraordinary, not ordinary. And I will tell you this. This has been an honor and privilege to have you on today, Steven. I hope you'll join us again and stay with us for a long, long time. And we got plenty of things to get into. So thank you for being on, sir.
That's been great talking to you, Eric. Thanks very much.
Anytime, sir. So for Steven Murray, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll have this show up shortly. We'll have Steven on again, and he's got a ton of stuff to talk to me about, vice versa, too. So we will talk to you soon. Now, today's Tuesday. You got 5 days to do something magnificent, and you also have the rest of your life to do it. Don't shortchange yourself, and the world is expecting something from you, and we are too. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.